Okay, well, thank you all for staying. We're going to wrap this up, and my story is going to be a little bit different in that we're going to talk about what we did over the last 15 years in rural Shasta County to transform our health department, to be able to first start to work on chronic disease prevention, and now prime ourselves to move forward in doing health equity work. Thank you to my colleagues who are back in Shasta and allowing me to be here in beautiful Denver. I have no relationships to disclose. Learning objectives, mostly we're going to talk about the infrastructure and internal capacity that we did 10, 12 years ago, and how we're repeating some of that same model now as we start to look at working in health equity. Data, community partnerships, funding streams, and mostly I want to go through the beginning quickly so we can get to where we are now with health equity work and really where we plan to go and some of the lessons we've learned along the way. So if you don't know where Shasta County is, that's us, the yellow square, way up top, one county south of the Oregon border. We're very rural, we're very remote, we're very beautiful, we have natural resources. We cover 3,800 square miles with a population of 180,000. We only have three incorporated cities, and they're all along the I-5 corridor. So our eastern Shasta County really is very remote and has very little access to services. We're extremely politically conservative. So anybody in this room want to raise their hand and say, I just described your county, right? So the rural communities, we have a lot in common. But another thing that I'd like to say about Shasta, and which I'm sure you will agree, a county our size can get things done. It's about relationships. It's about knowing people. It's about bringing in resources and collaborating instead of competing. And that's what we do really well in Shasta County. In the early 1990s, way before my time in Shasta County, a vision was cast where we said we needed to start to look at doing things differently. We had limited resources. We couldn't do things the way we always had. We had to stop doing certain services, which was very painful for some people. And we really needed to look at what community-based organizations could pick up. STD clinics, family planning clinics, home visiting, some of those things that we had always done, but we no longer had the resources to do if we really wanted to move upstream and start to look at population-based programs. As you all know, reorganization is not easy, it's very painful, and multidisciplinary teams were formed instead of being isolated by discipline, where the nurses were here and the lab people here and the community people there. Teams were started to be formed. We created a new division where we actually brought in our first health educators. This was about late 1990s. We started looking for funding to hire public health nutritionists that could do things outside of the WIC program. It wasn't to take away from what WIC was doing. That was crucial, essential to the needs of our community. But we wanted to start working in other venues, policy level stuff with schools, preschools, healthcare organizations. We needed to find unique funding streams for that, and you can see some of the ones that we started with. Private foundations were a great initial funding stream for us to get started in this work. We also knew that we had to look at the data locally. You know, we're a very small county in a very big state. And so we needed to look at our own local data to really direct our limited resources and also to bring along our stakeholders. We were going to change the way we did things in rural Shasta County. Our stakeholders needed to understand why. They needed to understand the data that was driving us to do more upstream population-based work. So we hired an epidemiologist and a bunch of data analysts, and we started producing local documents and going out into the community to tell our story. We quickly learned that we're not always the best at community relations. That's not what most of us are trained in the discipline of public health, but there are people who go to school for that. And so we hired a couple of them with community communication expertise. They helped us develop a professional image and materials. They helped us manage our media relations. Instead of the phone call where you get on Friday afternoon and somebody would want to talk about the latest TV case, being forwarded to six phones because nobody wanted to talk to the reporter, we actually had a unit that would take those calls, help us with talking points, and we would be able to respond and tell our side of the story or get our information out in a much more timely and professional way. We also need to tell our story about the importance of prevention. Again, if you're going to move upstream, people need to know why you're going there and what difference is it going to make in the health outcomes of our community. And we also created a public health advisory board. Our public health advisory board became our ambassadors. They were appointed by the Board of Supervisors, half of them, the other half we selected, and they became our touch points out in the community of what was going on. If we were going to try to take on new challenges, how would it be received in different parts of the community? And when we needed to go to the Board of Supervisors, they were there as our ambassadors to help tell the story. We looked internally at what we needed to do. We created consistent department-wide orientation. We brought folks in our strategic planning process. Public Health 101 became integrated into our work. And we focused on explaining the spectrum of prevention. Now, we didn't create this. It was created by Larry Cohen and others in Contra Costa. But basically, we use this as a visual to bring folks along with the fact that all of these levels in the spectrum are essential. Just some organizations and some programs are better adapted to work at different levels. So figuring out what we could do in the health department at different, with different funding streams and different programs and different professional expertise to try to work higher up in the spectrum. We also created new classifications, not easy to do in a county system. We had to work with county personnel, but we created the first in the state community organizers, health advocates, community development coordinators, and we also established regional offices. We needed to build trust and identity in those rural parts of Shasta County. This could be a whole presentation in itself. It's on our website. I'll give you that address at the end. But our strategic plan was crucial at this point of our transformation. It became health outcome focused. We incorporated cross-cutting strategies. We didn't know what we wanted to do around social determinants. Those terms weren't even really being used yet. But we knew we needed to start working more with partners. We needed to look more upstream at some of the root causes. We engaged our public health advisory board. We went to the board annually to give them progress on what we were doing with our strategic plan. Again, we wanted them to understand the work we were doing and the difference we were trying to make. It became a working document. I'm pleased to say it doesn't sit on a shelf. People use it, and it really guided our decisions about staffing, funding, and where we should go after grant support. We updated it midway. We thought we'd update it a couple times. It was way too hard to update a couple times. We did it once, about halfway through, and we're in the process of creating 2020's plan now. Of course, strategic plan led to more reorganization. Surprise, surprise. We created our first chronic disease and injury prevention branch. I was the first manager of that branch. And we really saw synergy of bringing people together around tobacco and injury and nutrition and physical activity. We were able to create a healthy communities unit and put a full-time person working on built environment and getting the training they needed and building partnerships with people we'd never worked before. City planners, county planners. We actually took some of them on workshops with us so they would start to learn what we were trying to accomplish around health in the built environment. We also expanded our epidemiologists and created a whole outcomes planning and evaluation unit because we knew if we were gonna make these changes, we need to evaluate along the way to see where were we making a difference, what worked, what did not work. And finally, we were able to get funding as one of the seven, I think, counties funded by the California Endowment to do a five-year Healthy Eating Active Communities project. And that was our first attempt at pulling together a team in a regional office that included all those new classifications, worked on the built environment, had a nutritionist health educator as part of their team, but really worked at the community level, almost disassociated from the health department. Well, needless to say, we didn't address all of our health issues in those 5 years or with those organizational structure changes. As you can see, we still have some of the worst age-adjusted death rates in Shasta County. We're always number one, number two, number three in the state, not on the positive side, but on the negative, because you look at any health indicators and we don't do so well. We have really high smoking rates, people die sooner than they should, substance abuse is a huge issue. Again, not unlike most other rural counties, but we had resources to do something about it, but we needed to do something differently. And that's when we started to look at ways to incorporate health equity into this framework that we had already developed. Luckily, there was another source, a small pot of funding from the California Endowment and some partnerships with NACHO, and we were able to hire a full-time staff person. She immediately started creating some committees, one that would look internally through cultural competency committee of what are our practices within the health department, and then a steering committee that would oversee the grant deliverables, but also cast the vision for our work in this area, and be our ambassadors on this new way of thinking out into the community and engaging new partners. We did 5 community forums and tried to get a pulse from the community. What did they think were root causes of health issues? And we really started looking at local data. This is just one example of census tract data that we've done, and again, you can see that we have disparities. You know, right next to each other down in the city of Reading, there's 2 census tracts. One, if you just cross the street, you live 14 and a half years longer than if you live on the other side of the street. This does not make sense. We're still struggling, though, with how do you frame this? How do you translate this without making people in the blue section feel bad about that, right? So that this is still where we have work to go on how you translate some of this local data. We held a summit because, number one, it was a deliverable for the grant, but we realized that we had to start taking it outside of the health department. We had to start talking to partners and engaging them. We had done community forums. Now what, right? Just write it up and present it as part of our deliverables for a grant? No, we needed to engage community leaders. We had over 100 people show up in April. And as a result of that, we actually have 3 working work groups now that are continuing that will take us to this next level. One focusing around early childhood development, another around a crisis in Shasta County where we have a high rate of kids who graduate from high school and a very low rate of kids who go on and complete 4-year college degrees. We have only 16% of our adult population that has a college degree. And so how do you promote educational attainment in a culture where it really has not valued such up to this point? And then thirdly, workforce and economic development. It's a work in progress. This is probably the toughest nut to crack for us, and we have a lot of work to do in this area, mostly because it's new partners. In the other 2 arenas, we had already worked with preschools and early childhood educators. We had worked in the school systems, but now we're trying to sit across the table from the chamber, from economic development people. They trying to show the health connection has been our challenge. It will be where we will focus in the next 2 or 3 years. So, in conclusion, where are we headed? Well, we're part now, public health is part of the Health and Human Services Agency. We are combined with social services and mental health. We went from a department of 175 in this new reorg to a department of about 100. We didn't lose those 75 folks, they just got redistributed throughout the agency. We now went from 3 departments in the agency to 4 branches. And trying to integrate our work with social services and mental health. How do we approach this more as a continuum? Who's doing what service to what? It's the same population, right? So where do we fit along the continuum? Who has the resources and the funding to make us more comprehensive in our approach to these root causes? We're trying to put all this into an agency strategic plan 2020. It has been very challenging. We don't even speak the same language within our own agency, right? They do health equity work, they don't call it health equity work. And so there's a lot of internal capacity stuff that has to happen. But the great things is that everybody agrees we want to expand and go forth in this health equity work. just how do you do it while you keep doing everything else you're doing? And I think a lot of the lessons learned today is that you don't really ask people to do more. You just ask them to think about looking through a health equity lens when they're doing the work they're doing. Is there innovative ways to use the funding or the staff that you already have? Are there other agencies that are better able to do some of this work than we are? Or if they did some of our other work, what else could we do in this new territory? And finally, we really think that as an agency, if we create a strategic plan founded on health equity with strategies that cross the continuum of care, everywhere from direct service all the way up to policy work, that we will be fundable. Just like we were in the early days of chronic disease prevention, we set our structure up to be fundable. Now we're trying to do that same at an agency level. What have we learned along the way? Well, nobody's surprised to know it takes leadership. People have to be willing to have the vision, but more importantly, the commitment. This is not easy work. It wasn't back in the 1990s, and it's not now. You have to make tough decisions about how you allocate your resources, what positions you fill when you have vacancies, not necessarily terminating positions, but how you reassign folks, and then when a vacancy comes available, what's the best position to fill it with? And institutionalized changes have to be incorporated. Otherwise, when you have to make the tough decisions, it's very easy to carve off a little piece of this work. So it's got to be structurally institutionalized. And the chicken or egg question, what came first, money or structure? Anyone want to answer? Our answer is structure makes you fundable. Fund, support, and expand your structure to be able to do this work. Here's our contact information. The website has incredible resources, videos, our strategic plan, our local data, and how we're starting to look at it. And feel free to contact me as well. Thank you.
I do?
Okay. I thought in meant in. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. I know you said bringing in partners was challenging, but were there any messages or techniques that you found successful even in setting up the meeting?
You mean in special with health equity specifically?
Yeah, or so I'm going through a similar process, and in terms of getting even setting up a meeting with county planning and parks and recreation who are very busy right now, mm-hmm. I've had some struggles.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that relationship really was done one-on-one. Again, we had a full-time staff person, for example, working on built environment. Her full-time job was to go meet those folks, to have dialogue with them, and not always at the top of the organization. Sometimes it was the actual planners on the ground that were really interested in this work. Unfortunately, they were often stuck in a structure that wasn't always conducive. So being able to build those partnerships from the bottom up, as well as having our director of public health and our agency director start to build relationships at the county and city level down. But also we had money at one point, and we were able to take people to some conferences, smart growth conferences. It's amazing, you know, food at a meeting, or being able to pay for some of those folks in county and city departments that never get to travel to go to something that speaks to them was awesome. And if you have any mini grant money, it was really well worth investment.
So this is such a small part of your whole plan, but did you have trouble convincing the department to get epidemiologists, whether that was an important element?
You know, it was before my time. But I will tell you, the director of public health now is an epidemiologist. So certainly he went straight to the top, right? And I think it was our health officer, Andrew Deckard, who really continually said, epidemiology is the core science of public health. And evaluation is crucial. You need to know where you want to go, and you need to know if you've gotten there. And that was so even if people couldn't spell epidemiology, that made sense to all of us, right? So no. It's grown, it's a whole unit, and now it's doing the same type of work at the agency level that it started out at public health.
Thank you to all of our incredible presenters, Terry Fields-Hosler, Dr. Rodiger, Dr. Hagner, Dr. Driscoll, and Ms. Michelle Komozinski. If you have any further questions, please gather outside. There's another session after this. And I thank you incredibly. It's been an honor for me. And thank you for bearing with my nervousness. Have a good day.
And thanks for the moderator.